Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I am Charlotte Casaraghi, and in partnership with the House of Chanel, I present to you the Les Rencontres podcast. As part of the Rendezvous Littéraire at Rue Cambon, this podcast spotlights the birth of a female writer. You can listen to the various episodes and their authors on your preferred streaming platforms.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the hopper of conversation, cracking in the egg of humour, and you got yourself a Hopper with an Egg podcast.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every week we invite in a guest. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week our guest is...
Karan Gokhani. Chef, owner of Hoppers.
Entrepreneur.
Hoppers is a fantastic mini chain. Would you call it a mini chain? There's three restaurants in London.
Yes,
they are fantastic restaurants that we are huge fans of, cooking Sri Lankan cuisine.
I think it was you who recommended it to me for the first time, as it is with anywhere that I eat.
Yes,
Ed recommended it to me.
But then it normally happens that I've been somewhere once, I recommend it to you. Mm. And then within a 2 month period, you go there more times than I've ever been there.
Yeah,
definitely. Because you'll go with your girlfriend, you'll go with some friends, your parents are in town, you take them there.
Yeah.
Some other family are in town, you take them there. And then you're like, Ed, have you had this on the menu? Go, no, I've not been there for 3 months, maybe. You're like, well, I've been there 6 times.
Because you've been trying other restaurants and recommended them to me, but I don't listen for that 3 month period.
I go there
because I've got my new favourite place.
They know my name now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, lost count the amount of times.
Yes.
I've been to Hoppers, many a special meal, very excited to talk to Karan about. I mean, I'll try and get him talking about some of my favourite dishes. That's my plan going into
That's your plan, aren't you? Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're going to have to trick him into that.
I'm going to trick him.
It is his restaurant.
He's going to get tricked.
Yeah.
He will think it's his idea.
Yes. Right, we will see. I mean, it was his idea. The restaurant was his idea.
He'll think it's his idea to talk about the dishes.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
well, I'm excited to talk to him. There's also a Hoppers cookbook out now, James.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, any aspiring chefs...
Yes.
Anyone who just wants to, you know, make some more vary up their menu at home.
Any current chefs.
Yeah, any current chefs, actually.
Yes.
Any retired chefs who want to get back in the game.
Yeah.
You can all get the Hoppers cookbook that Karan's written. It looks beautiful as well. Recipes, memories, and inspiration from Sri Lankan homes, streets, and beyond.
Lovely. I've got a copy at home, actually. I've been flicking through it. It looks fantastic. Don't really have any time to cook any of it, but you know what? I'm reading it.
You know what else people should read? They should read Ed Gamble, Glutton, The Multicourse Life of a Very Greedy Boy.
Thank you so much, James. Yes, that's my book.
Out now.
That is out now.
Now, we love Karan Gokhani.
We do.
But if he says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will be forced to kick him out of the dream restaurant, which is a shame.
Yes.
Because he has a restaurant and he could get us back.
Yeah, he could kick us out of our dream restaurant, which is Hoppers.
Yeah, so... let's hope we don't have to do this. But this week, the secret ingredient is...
Bovril? Bovril. I mean, it doesn't feel like he's
going to
pick it.
I swear to God we've already had it, but we did a live show recently and someone shouted out Bovril and then it turned out we'd never had it. And we thought, that's too good. We have to have it on a proper studio episode.
I don't like it, man, Bovril.
No.
It's what's it playing at?
Yeah, well, it just reminds me...
Is it trying to be like Marmite?
Yeah, it's like liquid Marmite. drink, hot drink.
Oh,
And some stinky old man will drink it at a football game.
Yes.
That's my only memory of it.
Stinky old footy fans.
Yeah, they sit there drinking it and you're like, what a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
Have a tea or coffee.
Have a tea or a coffee, mate. Don't drink that Bovril around other people in a crowded stand. Yeah. You're trying to watch the footy.
Yeah, we always think that when we go to the footy, don't we?
Yeah, when me and you go to the footy and we just want to watch the football. We want to watch them kick the old footy about.
Yeah.
And then we just next to some stinky Bovril drink.
Yeah, disgusting.
Disgusting.
So if Curran picks that, he's obviously out on his ear, out of the podcast, out of the dream restaurant, out of the footy stand.
This is the off-menu menu.
Oh, interesting. Huh? You're doing that.
Well, not anymore, because you interrupted me.
Okay. This is the off-menu menu of Curran Gokhani. Welcome, Curran, to the dream restaurant.
Absolutely. I've been waiting to come and dine here. Food.
Welcome, Curran Gokhani, to the Dream Restaurant. But it's better to give us some time.
Thank you.
It's odd a restaurant to get two welcomes immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good hospitality. We need some of that right now.
Yeah.
We keep saying the welcome is the most important thing. The farewell is equally important. You often don't get those.
That's true, actually. Normally they're, 5 minutes. I don't think badly of it, but if you're in a restaurant and, you finish the transaction.
Yeah.
And you're leaving, and sometimes I might see like the server who I was dealing with talking to another table, and then I feel oddly jealous.
Yeah.
Is true, though.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I say there's no harm stopping to talk to that table, look up for a second, say goodbye, because now you've done two good things. You've stopped you from being jealous, but the guys he's talking to know that he'll do the same for them, hopefully.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You kind of won two parties.
What's the best farewell you've had at a restaurant?
Probably one I gave to someone. I've run down the street, like, just thanking someone who was a complete ass.
Yeah.
I've run down Soho. They said, they were difficult on the table years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, this is my culture. It's not theirs. Yeah. And eventually, I think the server who was pissed off at them sort of did say bye to them. They just walked past. And then I chased them down the street. I was like, listen, I just wanted to say a big thank you for coming in. Hope to see you again. And they're just shocked.
Yeah.
And I think it's a nice one too.
Yeah.
Maybe turn the other cheek.
Change their mind in future because they probably walked out of there going like, oh, I've been rude again.
Or hopefully not. We don't want
to. Yeah. I've been rude again. I can't go back to that restaurant. I burnt my bridges again.
Yeah.
And then you chase them down the street. I'd imagine when they first see you chasing them down the street, you think, no, he's coming to tell me off here.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to get beaten up again by another
payment didn't go through yet again. Yeah. No, I think that's what's hospitality about. Because, you catch people on the wrong day sometimes.
Sure.
And you've got to give them the benefit of doubt. There's this whole thing about the guest is always right in hospitality. People go a bit crazy about that. I said, look, give them the benefit of the doubt. Listen to them before you make a judgment. And allow them that little bit of grace, because they could be having a bad day, and that's why they've probably stepped in.
Yeah.
It could be one person who's booked a table, the other person's not really keen on eating, and if we could convert both, we've done something really nice. Otherwise, it just gets boring bussing tables.
Yeah. And also, you've probably, if you confront someone like that, it's probably not going to go very well, but if you chase them down the street and say, hey, I just wanted to say thank you for coming, hope we see you again, if they think, well, that was odd.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, why do we think it's odd? Oh, because we didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Then that might make them reflect a bit more rather than just going like, you guys are a bunch of dickheads.
It's a much better way to make your point, I think. That's good. We've never talked about the farewell before.
Yeah, I never go back in the lamp at the end of the episode.
You've really got to nail the end of this episode, James.
I should go back in the lamp. We've really got to do that. I actually don't know your history of where you started out, like what your first restaurant was that you worked at.
Do you want to give it a wild shot? Do you want to just guess?
Where you learned these things and got the farewell. I mean, McDonald's?
I'm a huge fan of what they do.
Yeah?
I'm not going to lie and say no. There are lots of restaurateurs or chefs who will come in and be like, oh, I don't need to McD's, but I love it. I do eat it once in a while. There's a reason you go to McDonald's. The Filet-O-Fish burger changes very minutely across the globe, and I think that's an amazing feat.
Yeah.
To have created a product that's consistent. And, this is another sort of way, going into a whole hospitality podcast, so farewell was one. The other thing is consistency. sometimes it's not about the food, it's not about the service, it's about the consistency you get from that experience. And I think we all go to McDonald's or we go to fast food restaurants for that, the same colors.
Yeah.
You know what it's going to feel like, you know what it's going to smell like. And there was a book by the founder of McDonald's called Grinding It Out.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. They made it into a movie as well.
Yeah.
I love that book. And I read that when I was a lawyer and, you know, it really inspired me. Not to do McDonald's, maybe one day a fast food chain, but, you know, Hoppers is very different. Another great inspiration was Danny Meyer. And I think I've learned a lot of this from him. He's probably one of the greatest. Have you guys heard of him?
No.
Probably one of the greatest restaurateurs across the pond.
Yeah.
New York. He has a restaurant called Union Square Cafe. He's got Gramercy Tavern. He's got the whole load of great hospitality.
I have been to both of those restaurants.
Across New York. But he's also got Shake Shack.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
And one of the highlights of my career has been doing burgers with Shake Shack. So we've done a Hoppers burger with Shake Shack in New York here.
Oh, my God. I never wanted to eat something immediately so much.
It was a really good burger.
I'd love a Hoppers burger from Shake Shack. Are you shitting me?
Okay, wow, brilliant. Hopefully this brings it back.
Yeah, yeah,
I've been trying every angle.
What was
this
the
podcast
burger? What was it?
We basically, every time I do a collab, the idea should really be, it's not me stepping into your kitchen on your tours, but it's how is there this meeting of mind, meeting of food?
Yeah.
And it was the same with Shake Shack. Mark Rosati, who is the culinary director of Shake Shack, the entire team, we're all really good friends and we've gone back a long time. And when it came to finally doing this burger, we said, look, I'll use your burger. You've put all this effort into creating. I'm not going to do a new patty.
Uh-huh.
So we use their bread, lovely rolls, love their bread, their patty, their cheese. But then we added layers onto that. So we did this lovely sort of slow-cooked beef in, I'm sure you've tried our bone marrow curry at Hoppers.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was an inspiration. So we got all the bone marrow into the curry, folded it through, cooked, slow-cooked it, added some meat to it, pulled that meat, and we had that sloppy meat on top. So a bit like a sloppy Joe on top of their burger. We then had pickled red onions for color as well as that, you know, to cut the fat. A green coriander mayo. So it's a really visually beautiful burger. You can check it out on Instagram. We've got like a really nice build of it. And then finally, a green chili. So half a green chili. And then anyone we didn't like, we just put a whole green chili.
Yeah,
it was really fun because
chasing
it bit into
the street.
It.
Yeah, just want to say, thank you very much for coming.
Enjoy your afternoon. That sounds so delicious.
So Danny is who I've learned. He's got a book called Setting the Table, which has been a Bible. You know, I read it every year. I get the team to read it. He's got videos out on YouTube. The man is a genius. And the way he sort of explains concepts. There's a more recent book by Will Cadera, EMP, called Unreasonable Hospitality, which is great. It's kind of extension because Will worked with Danny for a long time. So those are great books to read and, you know, understand these concepts. And I think they're natural. You've either got hospitality within you or you don't.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think maybe I had that. I used to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then I jumped ship. Moved back to India for a year, dabbled a little bit there, came back. My wife and her brothers had set up a great group of restaurants by then, smaller group then, much bigger now. Joined them, came up with this idea of Hoppers, tiny little 40-seat restaurant in Soho. And there were queues around the block. It was just really fun. I still love Soho. I still say it's our flagship restaurant, although our most recent King's Cross, our third site, is about four times the size of Soho.
Yeah, yeah. I felt very lucky. The first time I went to Hoppers, I just got there. So I was there before it opened that day.
Hoppers Soho?
I've done that before
in
as well.
Soho, yeah.
And, I was probably on the door.
Really?
I swear to you, I was there the door for the first 2.5 years. So
someone did chase me down the street at the end, actually. But felt very lucky to get a table there. And it was so good.
We should talk about the book, because there's a Hoppers cookbook, which is out now, which is incredible. It's the debut cookbook.
It's the debut cookbook. It's my debut cookbook, Hoppers' debut cookbook. It was, you know, a year in the making. And in many ways, it's like, you know, I treated it like our fourth restaurant, but at an international scale.
Yeah.
So Hoppers Soho was first. Hoppers Marylebone, which is on the corner of James and Wigmore, just behind Selfridges. That was number two in 2017. And then King's Cross was 20. And then everyone knows what happened for the best part of, you know, a year and a half.
Yeah.
I'd write from about 10 to 3 o'clock for about 6 months. It was good. There was no distractions, nowhere to go out and eat.
Yeah.
No restaurant to run then. I mean, off and on. And it was an amazing project. But I think design was a very, very important part of it. Because, again, it was what I'm doing here is not, I'm not just looking back and trying to write a book for fans of Hoppers or people who've been to Hoppers and want to cook the dishes at home. Because that's a given. They will come and buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to write the book for people who've never heard of Hoppers. How do we create that little sense of Hoppers in their homes, wherever in the world they are? You know, there's a little ribbon, which is the border of the floor tile that kind of borders you in Soho. And it was the first, one of the first elements we chose when my brother-in-law and I were in Sri Lanka. We were researching the restaurant and the design. We saw a lovely floor in someone's home. We took a picture, sent it to our designer here. She then sent it to Italy to copy. And we had these beautiful floor tiles, probably spent more on those tiles than anything else in that restaurant.
Wow.
And this borders that tiny little, you know, whatever, 500, 600 square foot room. And I just wanted that same border to follow you through the book. So it's on the cover, it's on the back page, and it's on this ribbon. I had to fight with the, it wasn't a very hard fight. They were great. Quadrille, my publisher, and, you know, they allowed me to do it. So those little touches, I feel kind of, if you've read the book and you've never been to Hoppers and then that entices you to come in, when you walk in, you're like, oh my God, this is like the book in 3, 4, 5D.
I think it's so important with cookbooks, especially to get the aesthetic right and make them look beautiful and the formatting and all of that sort of stuff. Because, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'm not doing every recipe in a cookbook. I'm not cooking cover to cover.
Yeah.
But I like to read them like novels.
Yeah.
So I will sit there and enjoy them and go through them. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that it looks lovely on a shelf even.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it looks absolutely amazing.
They're the nicest books that I own.
In terms of
how they look in cookbooks. they look much nicer than anything else.
Yeah.
Apart from Ed's book. The Modicus Life of a Very Greedy Boy.
Thank you, James.
Let's start your dream menu then. We always start with still or sparkling water.
Still to hydrate, sparkling to celebrate.
Oh.
But I'll tell you why, because sparkling water just makes me want to pee.
Yeah.
So if it's a long meeting, if it's an interview, I'm not going to drink sparkling water. If it's a podcast. Luckily.
More than still water, sparkling water, makes you want to pee.
There's just something in it. I don't know what it is. I do love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've recently stopped drinking, which will probably answer the second question. But that's even more reason to sort of, you know, when someone's having a drink on the table and you kind of miss it once in a while.
Yeah.
A bit of sparkling water.
But then you have to immediately go to the toilet.
Liters. Not immediately.
Oh, hang on.
After a bottle or two.
Sorry, I spoke because I wanted to talk more about the pee, but then I missed the bitters.
Yeah, that's way more.
No, you just have a little bit of wedge of citrus, get a little bit of bitters in there, and it's a bit of a drink. Great. And, you know, you're not having the, it's not a sweet drink, it's not pop, it's just nice fizz on your terms.
Yeah.
Fizz on your terms?
Yeah.
a good tagline.
Good drink, right?
Yeah.
Start bottling.
Yeah, fizz on your terms.
So you wouldn't have that for your dream meal, or you would?
Now that secret's out and you don't mind me getting up and going off to the loo, I'll
sparkling.
Yeah, because that sounds great with the bitters. I'd want.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, definitely.
And also, it's your dream meal, so you can get up and go to the loo as much as you like.
Yeah.
Or can the genie remove...
I can remove the urge to pee.
Okay,
if
great.
You like,
fantastic.
With my genie powers.
Okay.
Unless you like going to the toilet in a restaurant, in which case you can carry on.
You always check the toilet in a restaurant. It says a lot about the restaurant.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. It's nice to see if they ran out of budget, they're actually cleaning the toilets.
Yeah, when you're like, you know, designing a new restaurant and it comes to the toilets, what things are very important to you for the toilet?
The most important thing, music. And I've screwed up a few times.
Yeah.
Having music in the toilets.
Yes.
And especially if you're going unisex, which is also something we've done.
You've got to have what's the best toilet music?
Good question.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Just anything loud.
Yeah.
Anything with a lot of beats dropping.
Yeah. A lot of songs that have got plops in them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Pop-ups or bed! Pop-ups or bed!
Good thing is I've heard this podcast enough to know that that's not a... You know, that's not directed to me because of the colour of my skin.
Pop-ups on bread, Karen Gakani. Pop-ups on bread.
I'll tell you what. Obviously, it depends on what I'm going to be eating later, but this is the dream meal. My palate will be completely cleansed. I do love papadums.
Yeah.
But I call them poppets.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
What the name is.
Yes.
And I also like them roasted. I only like one particular kind.
Yes.
So it's the one made with the black lentils, the urad dal, with black pepper. And you roast that, which gives it a completely different flavor from frying it. It's got a lot more depth. It's got that spice. And then with that, the best thing you can ever do is if you ever get these from a restaurant, so even if you get the fried stuff, the coriander chutney they normally send, ask for some yogurt, mix it through, and you've got this lovely yogurty coriander chutney to dip into. But then bread any day as well. I'm a lawyer. I'm going to caveat everything.
Yeah.
And
you can argue both sides.
That's good.
Bungie butter, good sourdough bread. You know Bungie butter?
No.
Tried it?
Fen Farms. Oh, so good.
What's it called?
Bungie butter.
Bungie Fen butter.
Farms, yeah.
So
they call Fen Farms out in Sussex. You get it at good cheese shops.
Yeah.
Comes in a little, it's almost like a brie, one of those wooden boxes. The little wooden boxes, I'm guessing. And it's incredible butter. Really, really good.
Oh, no, I want that.
You've got to try it.
But then...
That's if you were having bread, I'm having papadums with a chutney yogurt.
The chutney yogurt is such a good hack. I'm going to do that next time I'm having
that's
a curry.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's quite forgiving because sometimes you've got a chutney that might be too acidic or sometimes it's a bit salty or it's just not what the flavor. The yogurt really, good Greek yogurt just blends it nicely together.
Yeah.
And gives you this, you know, and then you can add a little bit of sugar or salt just to balance it out.
You've made me want you to have both now. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah.
He's got you.
So, I just want to order bungee butter because it's fun to say.
You've got to. We'll go for a walk after this. You're not recording anymore. We'll go pick some up.
Yeah, go get some bungee butter on the way to the airport and then fly to Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And then we've got all of our dreams. Let's start with your menu proper, your dream starter.
So a trick I always have at restaurants, again, you can see I've thought this through.
Yeah.
A bit like the whole bungee butter and pulpit vibe.
This is great.
I go with someone I like and I have a good rapport with and I make sure I order their meal as well so I get to taste both. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same thing here.
Lovely.
So two starters.
This is so funny that we've established that you used to be a lawyer and now you're a restaurateur and you are absolutely attacking this in the way a lawyer would.
Oh, if good. I was ever like, I mean, there's no life in which I'm a lawyer, but if I was and I was against you in court, you would make mincemeat out of me.
Yeah.
You would absolutely
That's the chef.
You would destroy me. It would be,
there is a world where I was a lawyer, but a very bad one.
Yeah. I'd be like Uncle Jack in Always Sunny. That's as good a lawyer as I would be.
I'd be Lionel Hutz.
Yes. And Cohen would destroy both of us. Yeah. Who's the other friend? Who's the friend you're bringing with you?
Yes.
I thought it's Ed.
Yeah.
You're the genie. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, great.
We've hung out in a festival. We've eaten together.
We hung out at a pub in the park.
Yeah. So, Ed, you're eating a pizza.
I'm eating a pizza.
We can eat a mini pizza because it's a starter.
No, we don't need to have a mini pizza.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm at the meal. Come on. Let's party. I'm at the meal now.
Fine.
Cohen's ordering for you.
Yeah.
So don't. Maybe keep your opinions to yourself.
Yeah, but I'm letting
you. So that's not my starter done yet.
Yeah.
That's his.
What's my pizza?
I think just a simple margarita. Mm-hmm. Good chilies on the side, dried chilies on the side, chili oil on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just dip in. You don't even sprinkle it over. It's just simple. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much. It's like good bread. There's just few ingredients and there's so much effort. And this is the chef or the cook in me talking.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with pizza. If you follow my Instagram account, there's Indian, Sri Lankan hoppers, and then pizza. It's like, everyone's like, what the hell? There's no connection. Curate the account. I said, this is just me. This is what I do. And hopefully I'll get some pizza lovers. I'll get some Sri Lankan lovers. And that's it.
Whereabouts is your favorite pizza? In the world or in London?
I cook a lot of it at home.
Yeah.
But in London, my go-to place is Mozza. Have you been?
No.
It's Nancy Silverton's restaurant. So she's from LA.
Right.
Great, very well-renowned, sort of legendary pizza chef. She's got a restaurant called Mozza, M-O-Z-Z-A. At the Treehouse Hotel. So it's sort of right next to BBC Studios.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Can I talk about her studios?
Yeah, of course.
So off sort of Regent Street. I love it.
Someone was telling me about that, actually, that is like so renowned in LA, it's the place to go to, but it doesn't seem to have had that.
No, I think they've had a construction site in front of their building for a long time.
Right, okay.
And look, it's different people have different sort of preferences. I think hers is a very LA-style pizza. It's a really cool crust. The crust is quite sort of, she's got semolina on it and almost overdone to an extent, but I love it. It's just really, and again, a simple pizza there is great. On the counter, watching the guys make it in front of you. But then equally, I want to try this crisp pizza. I haven't been to it yet. Sort of East London, I think.
Crisp pizza.
I see it all over Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Hear people talking about it.
Now, I mean, this might be a silly question.
Yep, it's going to be.
What's my real start?
Are the crisps on top of the pizza or is the base made of crisps?
Now, crisp doesn't necessarily just relate to potato potato crisps, does
it? Could be a good one, though.
Yeah. You know, crisp is also just the general word for a texture.
Well, why is it on Instagram if it doesn't sound very exciting?
Well, everything's on Instagram, isn't it?
Mm. So it's just crisp. It's just crispy.
It's just a crispy pizza. I think they missed the Y.
Yeah.
There's great pizza. Even Pilgrim's does a good pizza.
Yeah.
You know, I like the story of the guys that I was following them ever since I was a lawyer. They've done so well. It's still a relevant brand. It's amazing. Amazing what they've done.
So I'm having
a pizza. I've nicked a slice or two.
Yes.
Yeah. But my starter.
If it's a mini pizza.
Ed, that's what's happening.
If it's a mini pizza, how are you nicking a slice or two? There's not very much left for me.
I'm glad you chose the big one.
Thank you.
Full mean size pizza sliced up. Yeah. Sliced up. See, I don't get why people don't slice pizzas up sometimes.
Sometimes
do you feel that?
Sometimes they arrive. Like, I order them sometimes and they arrive and they've not been sliced.
Yeah, and I get so annoyed.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've got one of those big curved blades.
Oh, do you carry
to
that?
To do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't carry it with me, but I've got one at home. It's difficult to carry.
It sings a sailor song when you touch it up.
That's a good. The only thing more annoying than that is when it's sliced, but it's not really sliced.
Yeah.
So they've kind of gone through the top. And you think it's sliced, and you got to pull it, and all the cheese just comes off in one slice.
What's
that about?
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking.
No.
Yeah.
I know that during COVID or during the lockdowns, they were like, we can't be slicing up their pizza. We got to be careful here. So I was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But now they've continued it.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, you know that I'm going to want to slice this up. And now I've got to do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sad day. And you just reminded me of a global pandemic.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
So what's your starter?
Duck pancakes.
Yeah.
I love them. Yeah. It's one of those you can never get enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this dish we ate growing up called pani puri. You know, this is not my third starter. I mean, it could be, but you have these little crisps. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Indian restaurants.
Yeah.
You get these little crisps and then you fill them in with some potato, spiced potato and chickpeas and stuff. And then you get this green minty water. It's delicious, like with tamarind and stuff. And you pour that in. The point is, when you finish the crisps, you have the other two left, so you ask for more the little crispy balloons.
Yeah.
Then you finish the water and you ask for more, and you can never stop. It's this sort of constantly sort of this vicious circle.
Yeah.
And I find it's the same with duck pancakes until the duck is finished. But then I start eating it with the vegetables and chili oil and sauce and stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be very tempted to put the pancakes to one side for a second and put all the duck and everything on the pizza and and eat that. I'll be tempted to Frankenfood.
I mean, shout out to Bella Italia. I once had a hoisin duck pizza. At the time, I loved it. Looking back, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Instead of tomato sauce base, it was hoisin sauce.
Too much.
Duck, cheese, and spring onion. Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a good way?
No.
No.
No, I just mad. You're eating and you're that
cheese. For starters.
Yeah, well, the cheese was...
It
has to have cheese to be the pizza, right?
Maybe.
Does otherwise, it? That's another thing where you get, like, the white pizzas, you get pizza without cheese and all that stuff. Yeah. That's the worst thing. You know, you order that pizza, it just sounds so good, and then, you know, that's why I started going for margarita.
Yeah.
So you know what it's going to be, but, you know, you go with four friends, and they're not going to share with you, and then you get that, you're the only person who gets that white pizza. It's like, oh.
Are you... how do you build your pancakes? Yeah. What order are you putting the things
on? Ratios?
Hoisin sauce.
Yeah.
Chili oil. And you build it in your hand. That's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah. So
you pick it up. You can stretch over. A little bit of hoisin sauce. Chili oil. Something we always love, my wife and I, is chopped fresh red chilies with soy sauce. So you sort of pour soy sauce over it. Kind of, this just does something to the soy sauce and to the chili. Then duck. A little sliver or two of spring onion. Cucumber for crunch.
Yeah.
And then those little red chilies.
Yeah.
Great. That's love that you're adding all this chili stuff as well. That's great. Normally, I just end up having the duck, the veg, and the hoisin sauce, which is great, but with chili oil as well.
It takes it to fantastic. The next level. Nice balance.
I go hoisin sauce first, spread it out on the pancake.
Yeah, same.
Duck, vegetables on top.
Yeah.
You, to me, seem like a drizzler, James.
Yeah, I'll
you go last, hoisin last.
No. No, come on. Don't put me in that category.
Because these people who go hoisin last are using up all the fucking hoisin. Because they've got no way of regulating how much they're putting on.
Exactly.
You need to put enough on to get the flavour of it, but you're not putting dollops on. And these people are fucking dolloping and drizzling. It gets on my nerves.
But I'll tell you what's worse than that. It's the people who are using up all the duck. When they just pile that pancake high with duck. I said, just get that little shred of duck. Yeah. It's a nice balance. And then we can have more.
Yeah.
Did you say pancake last, James?
Yes.
Pancake last.
That's what
so
I
you, in your hand.
Yeah.
Duck in your
in
hand.
In my hand.
Yeah, duck.
I just grab everything.
Yeah.
In my hand, and then I get a pancake, slap it on the top, and then pancake first into my mouth.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Dream main course.
Main course is, I guess.
Main course is for
absolutely,
you and for
yeah.
Edward Gamble.
Absolutely. So
Ed Stevenson
here
Gamble.
I've got it kind of built into the course itself. So I'm not necessarily going to have to choose to, but very happy to. Always greedy when it comes to ordering. Mm-hmm. In close second, it could be a biryani.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Had a lovely biryani.
Lovely. Yeah.
At Pub in the Park from Hoppers.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very good.
That was, So that was one kind of biryani. So we kind of toss it all together. We call it a tawa biryani or pan biryani where the sauce is mixed with the rice and it's really delicious. Perfect for volume like that. But then the dum biryani, which is where you've got the meat, you've got layers of rice and meat and the rice almost sort of steams through in that lovely aroma. And then it's garnished on top and it's usually under a little seal, which could be pastry, which could be roti, which could just be a lid. I love that stuff. Yeah. I think it's the ideal sort of dinner party menu.
Yeah.
It's the ideal sort of one pot meal coming out of that region of the world. Just a little raita on the side is perfect.
Yeah.
But the other sort of equivalent of that, which would be my first choice, is something called lump rice. Now, you'll have to buy the book to find out what that is.
you'll tell us?
It is. I will tell you. But to cook it, maybe.
Yeah.
So we've got the whole recipe broken down in the book. It's a Sri Lankan dish. Have to be Sri Lankan here. Repping. It's spelt L-A-M-P-R-A-I-S. And it's a Dutch burger dish. So it was, you know, like you had the Anglo-Indians, you had the Dutch sort of colonized Sri Lanka for a while, and the children were known as the burgers, B-U-R-G-H-E-R-S. There's an H there. So nothing to do with the McDonald's burgers we were talking about earlier. But it's an incredible dish. It's in banana leaf, you've got this short grained rice. So first you cook a meat. So it's usually mixed meat, three kinds of meat. We're really going all in here.
Yeah, great.
This is like a full feast in one parcel. Three kinds of meat, lots of lovely spices. You stew them and then you collect the stock. It's almost like, think Hainanese chicken rice. You get the stock, you boil the rice in that stock. Really aromatic rice. And you put these two together. So it becomes a dryish curry by the time you sort of dried out and that stock is used to cook the rice. Then you've got lovely aubergine pickle like a moju or pahi. So it's this aubergine, pickled aubergine with onions and stuff. You then tend to have two or three other little dishes in there. You have a little fried egg on top. You have a cutlet, and then you wrap the whole thing in banana leaf. And I used to have friends at university, still have friends, who bring parcels and parcels of these from Sri Lanka frozen.
Oh, wow.
And they keep in the freezer, and they're very, very protective of them. So you've got to be a really good friend for them, one of them to share it with you.
Yeah.
So they do these tiny parcels. Hoppers, we occasionally, for specials, do larger parcels. But imagine that that little parcel is then steamed or baked. So now on top of all the flavor, you also get that lovely flavor from the banana leaf into all these things. And then you just open it up. It's not much to look at. So it took a while for us to actually bring it on the menu because it just looks like someone's had this doggy bag where they were given, you know, very stingily given just one box and they had to clear the whole table, everything left over into one box and they swung it on the way home. It's like one of those really bad takeaway orders that you get, you know, someone swung the whole thing. It just, everything's mixed into everything. But it looks a bit like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make it look visually pleasing, but the flavors are insane.
And is that going to be on Ed's plate or your plate?
Yes.
I reckon I'll take this one. Ed's having a biryani. So.
Okay.
We'll share.
Good.
If he wants one.
Yeah, I was going to ask, we hadn't quite established whether, because obviously you're going to have some of mine, because that's why you've established this, but am I going to have any of yours?
Only if you have that duck pancake the other way around.
Like yes.
You've got to have it on your hand.
I'll eat the duck pancake like James.
I'll get to decide how Ed eats your food.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Yeah. So how am I eating the biryani?
Well, you've got the biryani.
Oh, yeah. How am I eating the lump rice?
I guess I'd like you to eat it one grain at a time.
Oh, no. That's like
you've got a banana leaf to play with.
Oh yeah,
you can use you can use that.
You have to lick the banana leaf clean.
Lick the banana leaf clean. Yeah,
yeah, but you have to eat one grain of rice at a time, and then just lick everything else off the banana leaf.
That genuinely sounds like torture to me. That's awful. That's given the idea of eating, having an amazing like flavoursome meal, and I'm hungry, and I've got to eat one grain of rice at a time.
Yeah,
that's when you were a kid, and they were saying chew everything 32 times. Did you guys have that?
Yeah,
there's always these things like chew your food 32 times. Now I'm in the opposite position. My elder son, who hates eating for some reason, it's really upsetting. Yeah. He's his 5 year old, and you know, I just finished battles at breakfast with him, and you give him a bite, and he's got this really good way of hiding food in his cheek,
like a hamster.
Like a hamster.
Yeah.
And you know, it just fills up. And like there days I've caught him with a slice of pizza there about an hour and a half later. Like he's gone off to play something, he's gone to a class, and he's come back, and he's like, he's been eating then. The teacher's like, oh, was he chewing gum? I said, no. It's like, what's in his mouth? And he's like, oh, I've got pizza. It's now become too dry. Can I spit it out? I was like, you should just ask me earlier. But it's a bit like him. Like, I tell him, eat fast, as we always grew up saying, 32 bites. And that was really frustrating.
Yeah, you've got to chew everything so many times.
Yeah.
I was told that as well. There was no chance I was listening to that.
Four or five times at most.
Yeah.
Just
at
enough
most.
To make sure it sort of doesn't kill you on the way
down. Yeah, just to get it down,
Yeah. Also, I can't be counting and eating. Like, that's fall asleep. No.
Yeah.
Forget it, man.
Just changes flavor. After a while, after like five, six bites, it tastes of nothing, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. No, you can have as many bites as you like in the dream restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. Except him.
Ed has to eat a grain of rice at a time.
Grain by grain,
Yeah.
After slamming a pancake into my face with all the filling on my hand.
Yeah.
Pancake first. I think that's
pancake
fair.
Last.
Huh?
Pancake last.
Pancake goes on last and goes in your mouth first.
Right, okay.
Very important.
Yes, thank you.
Actually, maybe the banana leaf.
Do you want me to wear it like Baloo?
Yeah, I was going
to
say. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to wear it like Baloo?
Yes. Yes.
Can I leave the restaurant of this?
Your dream side dish.
In being honest to that main, I think I'll just have a simple pot of yogurt, which is really nice to balance out.
Mm-hmm.
So and stick to that if I was having something.
Does Ed get the yogurt as well?
Yeah, we're sharing everything.
You're
except the banana leaf.
Well, I'm disappointed to hear I get the yogurt because God knows how I'm going to have to eat it, James.
Oh, yeah, for a straw.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, okay.
Ed's got to use a straw for the yogurt.
One of those big, fat boba straws, the bubble tea straws.
Yeah.
It needs to be nice and thick.
Yes, it's 2 feet long.
Ooh, perfect.
Yeah.
Lots of lung power.
Oh, no, this is turning into my nightmare meal.
Well, sorry, Ed. I don't make the rules.
You do. You literally do. That's what you're doing right now.
I'll tell you what. I mean, if there was something else, I'd just go simple French fries.
Oh, yeah.
Just simple French fries. Mm-hmm. Just really nice. No truffle oil, none of that crap on top.
Yeah. Just
veggies sometimes, but just good French fries are great.
Where does the best French fries, do you reckon? Is it a fast food chain?
There's something about that smell of McDonald's French fries. But I'll tell you what, Shake Shack.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They do if you the best French fries.
If you want to get
not
back
French
in,
fries, they
back
do the best
Shake Shack.
Fries.
Yeah.
Those, you know, the little crinkle cut.
Crinkle
cut and perfect with cheese on top.
I know the ones you mean.
I was just having some of them the other day. We did, so when we did the burger with them, we did chili cheese French fries.
Oh,
I'll take that.
Yes.
I'll take that.
I can't believe we missed this collab, man.
We'll bring it
back. It was in New York, right? It was in New York.
No, there was one.
One here as well.
There was one here. And then we did a home and away.
You're breaking my heart.
We'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Back. Hopefully the guys are listening.
Yeah. Bring it back, Shake Shack.
Do you have like a dream like collab? Like, so somebody who you haven't collaborated with before, who you would love to just like, team up on?
We've done some interesting ones. We're doing, you know, I've done some really cool stuff. We did a burger. We did an ice cream with salt and straw. Do you know those guys?
Yeah.
So they're like Ben and Jerry's off the West Coast. Tyler is one of the coolest, most fun guys I've met. So we did a bone marrow ice cream. The bone marrow.
Oh, wow.
He turned into an ice cream, which was incredible. So that was earlier this year. I've done stuff with Tom.
I shouldn't have asked
Gerich.
This, actually. I'm going to cry.
but I think I'd love to do something with a musician.
Ah.
Like, I think, you know, again, that bringing that whole experience together doesn't need to be because we're artists, we're doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand visual art or not really into sort of painting and that kind of stuff. But I love music. I don't know much about it. I can't play an instrument to save my life, but I love rock and roll. And
Who's your dream musician to do a collab with?
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
It would have to be the boss.
Yeah.
The boss. I mean, Mick Jagger's out in the market again. He's doing new albums and stuff. But I think Bruce Springsteen.
I think Springsteen would be the coolest one to do a Hopper's collab. I think so.
Hope he's listening as well.
Yeah,
Bruce,
I'm sure he is.
Please make it happen. Please.
Come on,
sure
Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of
I know you are. I can see in your eyes you're trying to think of what the dish would be called.
Yeah. Trying to think of like song titles and a pun.
Yeah.
That would involve food.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's stressing me out.
Yeah.
Stressing me out here.
Yeah.
It'll drop by the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll know what it is. Yeah. We'll finish with that.
Ben's got one. Benito's got one.
It's going to be bad.
Prawn in the USA.
Prawn in the USA.
Fuck,
we'll just do a festival then. We'll do a festival.
It's good. I'm having a nightmare of an episode myself, Ed. I'm learning about all these nice foods that have been and gone that I wish I could try. I want the bone marrow ice cream so much.
And now Benito's beat you at a joke.
And now Benito's just beat me.
Yeah.
I just had my ass handed to me in a pun war by Benito. Prawn in the USA. It's so good. It's so good. I'm now just thinking about that ice cream. And how much I want that.
It was nuts. It was totally nuts.
Yeah.
But it was. I love like weird flavoured ice creams that like, especially like they got a bit of salty, savoury thing going on with them. Oh, man.
Yeah. And texture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just do it so well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like that was like being in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory where he's like all these different flavours. He's telling you all about them. The guy's a complete ice cream nerd.
Yeah.
But one of the nicest guys I've ever collaborated with. And again, it was the same thing. It's like, let's do what you guys do really well and let's add a layer of our stuff on top of that. So he kind of, you know, our rotis, which you've had, are these flaky parathas, which you make in-house. And when he had those, we started talking about it. We both came to the conclusion that actually doing this out in Portland, Oregon, which is a phenomenal place, by the way, we could just come and make these there. But he's like, no, let's just use something local. And then we came upon flattening croissants. Because it's effectively the same thing.
Yeah.
It's got the same amount of oil in there as croissants have butter. It's that lovely flaky texture. So we flattened croissants, candied them, and then ran them through this lovely sort of spiced ice cream. And then he did a bone marrow fudge. So we did a coconut base, spices into it. And that was the soft serve. Not the soft serve, the sort of base of the ice cream. We had these candied pieces of croissant. And then we had this lovely bone marrow, rich bone marrow fudge. So he just melted bone marrow in and made this fudge sauce.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
James has lost it. He's gone.
This is... Where'd you get off, Kurt?
I'll tell you what, he's
saying this stuff to me.
He's a genie. You could have that for your dessert.
No, that is truly torture because then I'm having to imagine something I've not had and there's absolutely no chance of me having.
I think, we're back on like, I mean, we've mentioned the banquet scene in the film Hook many times over the years and Bangarang, but then it really is like being at that meal, but being unable to imagine the food and just eating the ice cream and imagining everything that Kevin just described. But
so do they do that anymore in Portland?
It was literally one weekend only.
What the you monster.
We
made
it. We did a video. We just had fun doing it. Then we went off to the biggest bookstore in all of USA, biggest independent bookstore. It was a whole block called Powell's of Portland. And we did a little talk, two of us, and then we had free ice cream, giving it away to anyone who came. There's one way to bribe people.
Oh, God. You know what? It's nice to know that I finally got an answer to if I had a time machine, where would I go?
Wasn't that far back?
I've never
known. This year.
March this year, please.
March
Portland.
23. Portland, Oregon.
At the massive bookstore, please.
Yeah.
Get my free ice cream and keep going around the block in a different disguise each time.
Keep using the time machine, right?
Yeah, just keep using the time machine.
Going back 5 minutes.
I go back to the end first of the talk.
Yeah.
And then I go back 1 minute each time until I get to the beginning of the talk.
Yeah.
And I always get the ice cream every time.
Yeah.
We haven't asked him how he'd eat the ice cream, though.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, different every time, right?
Yeah. So
give us the top three.
I mean, were you serving it in cones or were you like...
No, we're doing cups.
You were doing cups. Well, I guess
we can serve it to you in a cone if you like.
I'd change my cup every time to like a different... I also use a time machine to bounce around time and get famous cups, like King Arthur's cup.
Oh, hang on. Well, you'd bring your own cup, would you?
I'd get the Ark of the Covenant, probably, and have the ice cream in the Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant wasn't a cup, man.
Was it not a cup?
It's massive.
I thought it was a cup.
No, you're thinking of the Holy Grail. You're thinking of the other Indiana Jones film.
Yes, yes.
The Ark of the Covenant was that massive thing that they open it and all the Nazis' faces melt.
Yes, sorry. No, I would have it out of that.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't. If they're giving out free ice cream,
it would melt the ice cream. It would melt the ice cream.
Yeah, forget it. But you're a genie.
If it melts faces.
It melting.
Yeah. I would have it in a load of things from Indiana Jones. The crystal skull.
Yeah.
Bone marrow. Makes sense.
They ate the monkey brains at one point out of the monkey skull, don't they? Mm-hmm. So I'd have the monkey skull as well, have the ice cream in there.
Yeah.
I'd just do that because I just like you guys to start thinking like a lot of people turning up today, like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. And then whatever that last one was about, you could have it in that.
Yeah, the dial of, I don't know, Fleabag. Fleabag was in that.
Fleabag, yeah.
Now, dream drink is very exciting because one of my dream drinks is a Hoppers drink, which is, I don't think is on the menu anymore.
We'll bring it back. That's easy enough to do.
You'll bring it back?
Yeah, that's easy. I don't need Salt and Straw or Shake Shack.
But I'm about to burst into tears because I can't remember his fucking name.
Describe it.
It's got...
Do you know the name, Benito?
You know it because you know what I'm talking about because I've talked about it before. Rosé Smash.
Rosé Smash.
The Rosé Smash. Yeah. Do you remember it from Hoppers?
Yeah, had the
kind of...
That was a while ago.
Yeah, man. I loved it so much. Like, every time I went there, I'd get it. Sometimes I'd go in just because I fancied a Rosé Smash.
Okay.
Think about that it all the time so still.
We'll do version 2.0 for you.
Fancied a Rosé Smash.
Yeah, I fancied a Rosé Smash,
man. Like you're bagging someone at a picnic. Fancy a quick Rosé Smash.
That's quite an elegant way of putting it, actually. I've considered myself quite the gentleman if I offered someone a Rosé Smash at a picnic. Yeah, man, I loved it.
Good. I know what I'm going to be doing the rest of the day. We'll work with the team. We'll bring back the Rosé Smash.
What was the Rosé Smash? I never had the Rosé Smash.
Yeah, now the thing that it had in it that I think was the... Yeah, but it was a Rosé...
But it was like a slushy.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was like, but there was like a Rosé Vermouth, was it? Or a Rosé... It was like a... Was it Rosé Vermouth, Benito's nodding his head, according to the menu? Yeah. So that was like... It had this flavour that I've just never found in any other drink. It must have come from the Rosé Vermouth.
Yeah.
That, like, I can't even describe it to you because it was just like I hadn't had it anywhere else. And it was very addictive because of that.
Like, see, I tell you, this is the thing we do with Hoppers because we've reached a point where we've got the three restaurants and very often people come there expecting the food to be, just to have certain dishes.
Yeah.
And they've become so famous. And for a little while, we tinkered with the menu, changed things around, and then we realized we're just pissing people off. So they come for classics. It's like McDonald's doing sandwiches one day and deciding we're not doing burgers or doing a wrap one day and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, fine. Let's rein that creativity in. Let's do a dish or two on the specials. Let's keep the menu very focused. Let's get better at doing what we're doing. Let's do these collaborations outside, which is, you know, where we express our creativity, have some fun. But what we've started doing a lot of is getting very creative on the drink side. And we've got Martin, Angelus and the team, and they're doing a phenomenal job, and you've got to come back. I mean, I think we will definitely match and raise you on that sort of on that Rosé Smash because the drinks are the best they've ever been. And you know, King's Cross has the biggest bar for that reason. We wanted to show people that look, you can actually have a nice overall great time. Hoppers Soho, most people used to come in smashed because I'd make them wait 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
so we really missed a trick there. You know, the guys next door were doing more sales on drinks and potentially snacks than we were doing on food because they'd be waiting 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And when we opened Marylebone, it was a different area. People kind of come there for the food. It's more functional. Now they're drinking a lot more, but King's Cross is a great area. No one waits. If you tell someone to go off and wait for an hour for a table, they just leave and eat somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So we kind of we've built this whole beautiful bar when you walk in. And the idea is you wait there, you have a few great drinks, you make friends with the team. Then you have your dinner and you kind of want to come back there before you get your train back home.
Yeah.
So drinks have become a big part of what we do. And obviously we'll be food led, but I'm very, very excited about what's in store, what we've been doing and some lovely drinks out there.
Oh,
So please, I mean, we'll bring the Rosé Smash back, but we'll make you try about 15 more as well.
Oh.
And then roll you out.
If I must.
Yeah.
But your dream drink. What's Ed having first? Actually?
Yeah, what am I having for my drink?
I'll let you choose your drink here. I'm not going to. Like I said, I think 3 months ago, I just decided one day I want to stop drinking. Not because I was an alcoholic or any of that sort of stuff, but it's just gives you, you know, it's just been a really refreshing time.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't know when this, by the time this airs, I might be drinking again. So I don't want to harp too much about it. But I've enjoyed this sort of little phase of not drinking.
Yeah.
It's also meant I have tasted a lot of non-alcoholic beer, something I frowned upon earlier. It's definitely a market that's picking up a lot.
Yeah.
I had one at a festival. Was it? No, it wasn't Pub in the Park. It was at the Rock Oyster Festival in Cornwall. This guy's called Impossible Brew. And they have something in their beer which says it even gives you a buzz. I didn't feel it, but it was interesting. And then these guys called Brulo, they do a beer. But it also makes you realize that a lot of drinking is about the social setting and a ritual.
Yeah, for sure.
A bit like coffee. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people go on about, oh my God, it takes a lot to you get addicted to these things. But I think you can break that ritual if you just decide. And you look at everything surrounding that ritual. Mm-hmm. So it might be friends who only want you to drink or won't hang out with you if you don't drink. And I feel to shift that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I've loved it. And, you know, I guess it'll be the sparkling water with a touch of bitters in it, maybe a non-alcoholic beer. But I'll tell you what, I don't not drink at all. So I do have sips from the other person, which doesn't count. So yes. You're probably having a Negroni.
No, I'm having a rosé smash.
Okay.
No,
with a Negroni, which I can have a sip of. Yes. I love a bloody Negroni.
Yeah, you can have
love a Negroni.
I'd like a rosé smash.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can have a sip, Karen. But James can't.
What the fuck? I just fucking told you about it. I'm the one who sold it to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Well, I'll enjoy it very much.
Head gamble. Yeah. Well, I'm getting the 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
The Smash King.
That's good. You should do a collab with James.
Yeah. Let's do it.
But it has to be on a cocktail called the Smash King, and it has to have mashed potato in it.
No, it doesn't have to have a mashed potato in it.
Yeah.
I'm the Mash King, because I used to make mashed potatoes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You see. So I can be called, we can do a cocktail called the Smash King, but don't put potatoes in it.
I'm sure we can work.
Yeah, exactly. I trust Curran and his team.
Yeah, that's exciting. No?
Yeah, I'm sure you and your team could come up with a cocktail with mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Wow.
It'll taste great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, this is exciting.
What's your recipe for the best mashed potatoes?
It was obviously the potatoes and cream, full fat cream, salt and pepper, butter, cheese. Orange cheese.
Ooh, orange cheese.
Yeah, well, just like orange colour.
Sounds horrible.
And then I mash it up. Don't start mashing until it looks beautiful and there's no lumps. And then send that out and everyone would say, you're the Mash King.
Send it out. Have you worked in a restaurant before?
I did. I worked at a pub kitchen.
Mm. Doing the best mash.
Doing the best mash.
Wow. Time travel. I'd love to come and eat that.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Hey, you can buy my time machine if you want to try my mashed potato at the Star.
I'll come along with the burger, with the ice cream, with the rosé smash, and I want is mashed potatoes in return.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You bring all that nice stuff.
That's the collab.
To the Star in Geddington.
Yeah, the Star in Geddington. You should also get the nachos. If you're going back to that time, you should
nachos.
Get the layered nachos with all the chili in it. That was a great dish at the Star in Geddington when I was there.
Yes.
Very good. People love
that's them. Where the orange cheese came from, didn't it?
The orange cheese knocking about.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's some nachos in the potatoes as well. Actually, good one. You probably
ooh,
just
scoop nice. Up
bit of texture.
Yeah,
scoop
yeah.
Scoop up
yeah.
mashed potatoes with nachos.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
you guys are coming up with great stuff.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a whole
we're
range.
Farming on all cylinders. So you have a sip of the Negroni.
Mm.
Yes,
I love a Negroni.
Negronis are good stuff. I didn't used to like them. Because whenever I had one, the way it sort of connects with your mouth and the feeling it gave me was the same feeling I have when I'm just about to vomit.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? The back of the throat starts to moisten because it's that bitter that hits right at the back of the throat.
Mm.
And that's what you get when you're about to be sick and your mouth starts producing saliva. So every time I'd have a sip of Negroni, I'd be like, oh no, I think I'm about to be sick. But then I taught myself to enjoy that, which means now I love Negronis and I love being sick.
Do you know what? I like it when Ed occasionally picks up the torch of the boring stories from me. Because
more exciting than the Diet Coke story.
What are you talking about? It's not mine. The Diet Coke story is fascinating. It's a story of science. We arrive at your dream dessert. We've already talked about ice cream and it was fantastic. It's one of my favourite conversations I've ever had.
By Murrah Fudge.
So, can we continue that?
Yeah.
Because the dessert's definitely going to be ice cream. Yeah. I just love ice cream.
Yeah.
It has to be a massive, massive sundae.
Yes.
Right? With all kinds of textures. Mm. Has to be chocolate in there.
Yeah.
And lots of hot fudge sauce. None of that that stuff that sort of crystallizes. None of that sort of quick freeze stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it.
No.
Just for me, it's like gooey textures.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben and Jerry's on the couch.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure. But I think this takes Ben and Jerry's to the next level. This dream dessert, like tons of ice cream.
Oh, so
brownies,
would it be Ben and Jerry's
cookies.
Ice cream?
It would, but you're a genie. You'll make something much better than that. So,
oh, sure.
So, yeah, so Ben all kinds of flavors. Peanut butter.
Yes.
I mean, Ben and Jerry's did a flavor with Tony's recently, you know, the chocolate guys.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I had that one.
I think it's still available, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great chocolate.
I could get it in a big Tesco near my house.
Yeah, yeah. And they do amazing chocolate. So great chocolate, great ice cream, plus all the other add-ins. I think clean ice cream doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. You need the texture.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that whole thing of pani puri and duck pancakes, where it's like, I'll sit on the couch, tub of ice cream. In my head, I say, okay, I think I can eat about it. It's midnight or bus. It's like, I should not eat more than a third of that tub now. But then you reach that line, that imaginary line. Like, actually, there's a little piece of brownie. It's like the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. It's like, it's just looking at me. I need to have that.
Yes.
And you kind of dig in. And it's like, okay, now I have the brownie. I need to have a little bit of ice cream.
Yeah.
Just to balance it out. You have that ice cream. And then you're like, actually, there's chocolate looking at me.
Yeah.
And you just go down.
Yeah.
It's like, I've had a whole tub in a sit.
Yeah,
and, you know, I've been very ashamed of that.
Also, but you kid yourself because you're like, I'll eat half of this. Yeah. So you think that's halfway down on
exactly.
the tub. But the tub's wide
exactly.
at the top. So you've
exactly.
eaten 3/4 of it by the time you get to what you think is halfway. And then you're like, fuck it, I'll just eat the rest.
Or you just feel really shit the next day when you're eating that other half. It's like, I should have just eaten that.
Yeah, you're like, I can't wait
the smaller
for
half yesterday.
Oh, I can't wait for another half of ice, a half tub of ice cream. Oh, that.
Or you open the next one. So you finish that and you open the next one.
Yeah.
That's another thing I've done. So yeah, for me, ice cream is definitely the thing, but textures, all kinds of stuff.
The main thing I do with the Ben and Jerry's is that, because the sides obviously melt first, the outside. So I just get the spoon down there and I'm telling myself I'm not really having much. I'm just eating the sides. So I just go right down to the bottom, scrape up, just have the more melted bits.
And then there's a little
bit of the way
middle,
around. So I go all the way around. And it's like, oh, this next layer is quite soft as well. I go around there. So, like, yeah, a lot of the time, that's my... And then I'm the same as you.
Like a beaver on a log.
Yes, like a beaver on a log. And then I see a little chunk like you do and go, got to get that chunk.
Yeah, and then you're left the next day with just chocolate ice cream.
Trying to even
like,
it all out.
Good. Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you of all the ways he's told us how to eat things, this is probably the truest.
Yes, that's how... Is that
how I actually
do it. I totally agree with you,
I do outside first with the ice cream. And
because your hand's warming that tub up, isn't it?
Yeah. Hands
like
warming
holding onto it with anticipation.
Yeah.
Sweating. It's like, I want more.
I don't like it when it's too hard. I used to live with someone who wanted it straight out the freezer, didn't let it melt.
But how were they eating?
She was like, this is how, like scraping little bits.
That's no fun.
She was like, that's how I like it. And I was like, what the? Are you high as a kite? You got to like soften these things. I like soft ice cream.
The trick there is putting in the microwave. Just like on the lowest power for like 5 or 10 seconds. Because I don't have the patience to wait then.
And
invariably, it kind of melts weirdly. But I think putting it in the microwave just melts it evenly across. But you've got to find that. Because the worst thing is putting it in on the wrong setting and now it's turned to milk.
Every time
and you don't have the ice cream.
What I do if I have ice cream and I'm eating dinner, when I'm about to eat the main savoury bit of dinner, that's when I get the ice cream out.
Yeah, great.
So I'm happy with the savoury food. And then by the time that's finished, we are ready to go to ice cream town.
That's great. Yeah.
In a buffet, that's all. I hit the desserts first. Got
Do
a
you?
Massive sweet tooth.
Respect.
Hit the desserts
first. Are you
kidding me? I just try them. So I know how much of an appetite I need to save for it. Knowing fully well, I've got a separate stomach, as everyone says.
Yeah.
So I'll first try it, justifying to myself, okay, I'm just tasting it so I know how much to save up on. Then I'll hit the buffet.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back loading a plate full of dessert. I just love it.
You know
dessert.
What you like at that point?
Yeah.
I've got a... So my sofa that I sit on to watch television has a radiator behind it. So that's where the ice cream goes.
Ooh.
I put the Ben and Jerry's on the radiator.
No wonder it's melting from around first.
Yeah.
When I start, and then I watch it, Strictly, and then I'll reach behind.
You said my story about Negroni tasting like sick was boring, and you've somehow trumped me with an even more boring story.
I think it's a beautiful story, what I've just told. A
story about watching Strictly on the sofa and putting your ice cream on the radiator.
Is it a... If you look up happiness in the dictionary, Ed, and you'll find that story.
I'm holding up a sparkly paddle saying 3.
They're not sparkly, the paddles.
I love it. So you're just basically a massive sundae with loads of textures.
Cookies,
brownies for sure.
Yeah.
Nuts, toasted nuts.
Yeah.
Cashew nuts. They taste amazing.
Great.
Have you guys ever had like a sizzling brownie? We grew up having that. There's a restaurant locally called Colaba. Uh-huh. Where I live, great little Indian spot around the corner, run by some amazing people. They do like a sizzling chocolate brownie. So it's like they bring a brownie on a sizzling platter, then you dump hot fudge sauce on top. It all sizzles and kind of burns at the bottom. Vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
It's like now melting. So you don't need a radiator for it. It's almost like the radiator, actually.
Yeah.
Next time, get a brownie on the radiator.
Yes.
Put your hot fudge on, put your Ben & Jerry's stub on top, and then you've got the sizzling...
Come on, I'll do whatever you say. I'll absolutely do that.
And then cashew nuts, salted cashew nuts.
Great.
And that is,
I'm so hungry.
It's just, there's something about the nuts
oh, no.
and salted nuts on ice cream.
I'm definitely, I know what I'm going to do tonight. And I'm going to go home, I'm going to order Hoppers on Deliveroo, and then I'm going to get some ice cream and some salted cashew nuts from the shop, and I'm going to mix them together.
Don't forget the brownie.
I won't forget the brownie.
The brownie. Well, we'll send
I'm going to get a brownie as well. Right. And read your menu back to you now and see how you feel about it. Sparkling water with bitters and a wedge of citrus. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
A citrusy fruit.
Grapefruit, lime, lemon.
Oh, grapefruit. Let's go for grapefruit,
please. Grapefruit, yeah.
Nail that down. Pop lobs or bread. You want popard with black chutney and lentils and yogurt.
No.
Black chutney, yogurt.
No, not black chutney.
Black lentils.
Black lentil and chutney. Black pepper, yogurt. No, poppard. I've forgotten this as well.
No, poppard, you haven't messed anything up.
The poppard itself is made of black lentil and black pepper.
Black lentils and chutney.
Yeah.
Yogurt.
Oh my God.
It's definitely a ton of
poppard. The coriander chutney is mixed with the yogurt. But
poppard that's made with black lentils.
And, yes.
And you would like a chutney yogurt with it.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. And you want bread with bungee butter.
Ed's having that.
I'm having that.
I'm having a bite.
Yes.
Starter, you got the duck pancakes with the chili oil and the fresh chilies.
Ed's got
the margarita pizza.
Thank you.
Mm, yum.
With chili oil as well.
And dried chili.
And dried chili.
Main course. Lump rice.
Yeah.
And biryani for Ed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Did we say what meat is in the biryani? Did I miss that?
No, we didn't. We didn't. Chicken or lamb. But I like lamb. Like a nice lamb shank biryani. We do it at Hoppers. Just a nice fall off the bone lamb shank biryani. Yes.
Beautiful.
Suck the marrow out afterwards. Yeah. Delicious. Yeah.
And talking of falling off the bone, I'll be dressing as Baloo for that course.
Does he fall off the bone?
No, I don't know. So I can make it sound sexual. Talking of sucking the marrow.
I think we go to the same picnic set. Side dish. A simple pot of yogurt. Also, the chili cheese french fries from Shake Shack.
Yeah.
That you did as a collab. Mm-hmm. Drink. A sip of Ed's Negroni. Dessert. A massive sundae. Chocolate ice cream, peanut butter, cookies, brownies, nuts, salted cashews, mm-hmm. loads of hot fudge sauce.
Loads. Yeah.
And it may or may not be Ben and Jerry's. Basically, just be like the genie version of that, which Ed at some point did call Ben and Genie's.
Yeah.
We glossed over it, but I think it's worth shouting it out. Benito and Genie's, maybe.
Benito and Genie's.
Yeah, ice cream. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Karen.
Yeah.
Karen, that was so good. Absolutely delicious. It's been a long time since we've had a menu that has made my mouth water that
yes.
much. So look, thank you, but damn you.
Look out for Hoppers X, the Smash King.
Yeah. Coming soon, Smash King.
Well, there we are, James. A wonderful menu from Karan Gokhani.
I'm covered in drool over here.
Yeah, James is covered in drool. He's drooled all over himself, all over his front and all over his crotch.
I should have worn a bib for that episode.
Should have worn a bib, it's especially when he started talking about that fucking bone marrow fudge, man.
That bone marrow fudge ice cream with the candied flattened croissants in it. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Why is all the best stuff only available for limited times? What are these people doing?
For man? One day in a bookshop? Are you fucking kidding me? Talking of books, the Hoppers Cookbook is out, of course.
Yes, the Hoppers Cookbook is out, but you can't get the ice cream when you go and buy it.
No.
The book itself is enough reward. And obviously, go to Hoppers restaurants if you can.
Yeah, highly recommended.
There's three. There's one in Soho, one in Marylebone, and one in King's Cross.
Yeah, and if you go to the one in King's Cross, you can catch a train to Kettering after.
Yeah, why not do that?
Yeah, that's St Pancras, though, not, but they're the same.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, in fact, I think where Hoppers is probably close to St Pancras. And who knows? One day, the Rosé Smash might be back on the menu.
And if it is, raise a glass for me, will you?
You're going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day.
The Rosé Smash will only come back on the menu when James Acaster is dead.
No. Oh, no. Don't say that.
You'll never be able to have it again.
That would be so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope I never die.
I also have a book out called Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy. It's available now in hardcover, audiobook, and ebook from wherever you get those things from.
Great.
Great.
I mean, we're still recording this on the day that I've been given it.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to it still.
Yes, thank you. Hoppers London is the Instagram for Hoppers, and Curran Cooks is Curran's personal Instagram where he puts up loads of exciting food stuff.
Yeah. He has promised pizza.
He's promised pizza
you
that
heard
he makes
him.
At home.
He said it.
I should make pizza at home again.
Yeah, you went for a big stage of that.
Yeah.
Making a lot of pizza at home. Did I try your lamb anchovy pizza? I think I did.
Yes, you did.
That's good stuff, man.
Man, I just want to do no work and just stay at home and cook.
Yeah, we're hungry. I mean, just for the listener, we're hungry, man.
Yeah.
Like, We haven't really had a proper lunch.
No.
We just listened to Karen describe all this amazing food. We're hungry.
Yeah, we're hungry.
That's the situation.
We should go eat. We should go eat now.
We should go and eat. He didn't say Bovril. We need to go and eat.
Sorry, Benita's just stopped us when we were about to go eat. He didn't say Bovril, obviously.
Yeah, we need to go eat, man.
Bovrilously.
Bovrilously.
Bovrilously, he didn't say
Bovril. What does your T-shirt say? It doesn't say corn.
Aries.
What does it say, Aries?
Because it's an Aries T-shirt.
It's a collab of corn and Aries.
It's the cover of the debut Korn album, and instead of saying Korn in the shadows, it says Aries.
I thought how hungry I am was making me hallucinate.
No. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again next week. I'm so hungry.
Bye-bye.
I'm
so hungry.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.